under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Go ahead and read the roll call, please.
Mr. Adams?
Here.
Mr. Batson?
Here.
Mr. Gibbony?
Here.
Mr. Greiner and Mr. Howell are excused. Mr. Kesselring?
Here.
Mr. Schott?
Here.
We have a quorum, sir.
Okay, we'll read the agenda notes.
Yes, sir. Cases heard by the Planning and Zoning Commission will be presented to City Council in accordance with the schedule provided after each case in the agenda. Please note that the City Council meetings will begin at 4:00 p.m. and are held at City Hall, City Council Chamber, second floor, located at 110 Southeast Wautula Avenue.
Okay, thank you. Has everyone had a chance to take a look at the minutes?
Yes, I'll make a motion to approve.
Second.
Mr. Adams?
Aye.
Mr. Kesselring?
Aye.
Mr. Batson?
Aye.
Mr. Schott?
I was not present, so I abstain.
Okay. Mr. Gibbony?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Okay, well, let's go ahead and move forward. The first is a public hearing, PHR 13-0004.
Good evening. Patty Hitchcock on behalf of the City of Ocala Growth Management Department. This is a request of the Marion Community Hospital for signage on Southwest First Avenue. The property is zoned institutional, and in the institutional zone, hospital signage comes to the Planning and Zoning Commission for approval. We did an amendment in the last year. Previously, it was a special exception at the Board of Adjustment. But in rewriting that particular section of the sign code, we thought that the Planning and Zoning Commission, with your work with the land development regulations, would be better suited to review requests for signage. There are two entrances on Southwest First Avenue. The southernmost entrance does act as the main entrance. In this picture, you can see the existing sign, and to the right is the multi-story parking garage that is under construction. The hospital proposes to replace that sign with a monument sign of under 150 square feet. It does comply with the existing sign regulations. They're also looking to replace the existing sign at the very top of the building. They are installing a parapet and some crowning up there. And they have existing signage. This appears to be of comparable size, but will include the logo. They have plenty of frontage to allow this amount of signage. They're also proposing to replace the existing ambulance and emergency signs down in the ambulance receiving area and at the entrance to the emergency room. Staff recommends approval of this request for signage at ORMC. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Do you have any questions? Okay, thank you. Would the petitioner like to get up and speak? No? Okay. Y'all have any questions?
I'll make a motion to approve.
I guess that's public comment.
Yes.
Is there anyone from the public who would like to speak about this? All right, I'll bring it back to the board.
And now I'll make a motion to approve.
Okay.
All right.
Mr. Chairman, just for the record, my wife actually works for this hospital, but I don't think that has any bearing at all.
I don't think so.
But I just wanted to make sure.
No, that's fine.
Okay.
She's not a sign designer, is she?
Mr. Adams?
Aye.
Mr. Kesselring?
Aye.
Mr. Batson?
Aye.
Mr. Schott?
Aye.
Mr. Gibbony?
Aye.
Motion carries.
I didn't notice that you voted for us.
Counting all the balls.
All right, we're going to move forward with the next public hearing, P PHR 13-0005.
This is a request of Tom McDonald to allow off-site parking within 300 feet of property at 304 South Magnolia Avenue. The property is located at the southwest corner of 3rd Street and Magnolia Avenue. It was built in 1924. Has about 6,000 square feet of area, and there is a small office of about 1,000 square feet in the southwest corner of the building. There is very limited parking on site. The proposed use is a microbrewery with retail outlets, some office, and also a bar lounge area. The property is just south of the parking exempt area. The parking exempt area on this aerial is shown in lavender. The property is outlined in blue. So they are required to comply with the parking requirements. In looking at the proposed, I'll run through these pictures of the building. This is looking west at the front of the building on Magnolia. Looking from the south side to the north on the side, you can see the entrance to the advertising office where the awning is towards the rear of the building. This is looking south off of the 3rd Street frontage. The rear of the building, it's hard to get a picture with the sun at that angle. And the floor plan, you can see they're also proposing to put some tables out under that drive-through area. In looking at how much parking would be required for this proposed use, this proposed floor plan, they would need 34 parking spaces. And we estimate they can fit about 6 parking spaces on site, so they will need to locate 28 spaces within 300 feet. This particular sketch shows the 6 parking spaces they would have on site. They'd have a handicap space adjacent to the entrance to the existing office, and then another 5 spaces with 1 handicap towards the front of the microbrewery. And a 300-foot radius shows where the parking could be located. The applicant has been in contact with the owner of that particular parking lot, and that owner has expressed the ability to lease to them 28 parking spaces. So they would be able to comply with the code requirements, and staff recommends approval with conditions. Those conditions being that they present a lease to us for our review, and that this use is granted to this applicant for the proposed use. It's not something that would transfer to another applicant. If someone came in with a different use, we would have the opportunity to look at that. So I'm here to answer any questions.
Okay, any questions? All right, thank you. Is the petitioner here?
Tom McDonald's.
State, can you state your address too for the record?
Yeah, 3220 Southeast 20th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 32471.
Thank you.
And I'm also one of the owners of Pie on Broadway, so I just kind of like to mention that this project is kind of similar to what we've been doing for the past 4 or 5 years with the aspect of the craft beer. Craft beer is this big growing trend that's been kind of stretching across the country, and we're trying to bring our little approach here to our downtown. So that being said, we're thinking about the craft beer brewery during the day, and then the night portion would be when we would need the extra parking. The day intensity would be very limited, probably 3 to 4 employees at max. All right, so if you guys have any other questions or anything.
Okay. Any questions?
All right, thanks.
All right, thank you. Does anyone from the public like to speak? All right, bring it back to the board.
Make a motion to approve.
Second.
All right, we have a second. Peggy?
Mr. Schott?
Aye.
Mr. Batson?
Aye.
Mr. Adams?
Aye.
Mr. Kesselring?
Aye.
Mr. Gibney?
Aye.
Motion carries.
All right, moving forward. The zoning changes, ZON 13-0010.
Ty Chickasola, subbing for Mike Daniels today. The request is a rezoning from R2 to R3. The applicants are Arthur and Carolyn Adams, along with the City of Ocala. The City of Ocala owns one of the three lots. There will be a property donation agreement going to City Council for them to donate the property to the Adams. So the request would be for the three lots from R2 to R3. The R2 is duplex, allows one and two families. The R3 would allow multifamily along with, as well as some other uses. And one of the uses being proposed is a special exception for a neighborhood wellness center. A few months back, we came forward with an ordinance that was approved by the Planning and Zoning Commission and City Council to have a neighborhood wellness center in an R3 with a special exception by the Board of Adjustment. So if the rezoning did go forward for the R3, the applicants, the Adams, it's called the Estelle Bird Wellness Center, would be going forward with the special exception application for. Again, staff recommends approval for it. There is a church across the street. The Adams may eventually expand the property to include the piece on the corner. At this time, it's not. But that may be a possibility. There's a retention pond across the street, and the church is catty corner to the southeast. The Adams are here if you had any questions for them tonight.
Hi, Debbie.
Yeah. Ty, since the city owns one of the lots, does the city have, do they feel like they have enough assurances that if this does, you know, once you rezoned an R3, I mean, that it will really go through with the use that you think?
Yeah. Part of the reason why we're going to do the property donation agreement, then it would have a reverter. It would be reverting to just for them to do the Estelle Bird Neighborhood Wellness Center. So if it did not happen, then it would revert back to the city. And so the property at that point really couldn't be developed. This is the minimum really for the R3. So unless other property was acquired, they could be, you know, eventually multifamily on it, but with the third lot going back to the city, there really wouldn't be anything.
Which lot does the city own?
It's the one furthest to the west. Again, it was a property that I think we got through foreclosure. We have no need for it, so the Adams own the other two pieces, and like I said, they were trying to get the piece to the corner, but you know, that's not part of the application.
It's hard for me to tell from the aerial or the map. Do we have any concern with the R3 being, looks like a block down the street on 7th to the west, that we'll have a request to put more R3 around this area?
Not really. I think there's some, I mean, it meets the minimum requirements. I mean, and I think there's some concern that, you know, you don't like to do spot zoning. I think based on more of the surrounding area and the uses around it, we feel like the R3 is appropriate. Like I said, the big difference between R3 is multifamily versus duplexes. I think there is some multifamily scattered in the neighborhood that have the R3 as you go further to the west. And then the historic district to the south has a lot of R3, even though they're single family homes.
I mean, this may be better addressed by the applicant, but just for the sake of the folks in the crowd who may have questions, do you know any more details about the nature of the use, the proposed use, and the wellness center, the hours, the traffic?
Yeah, there was restrictions on the hours. Right now, the hours are from 8 to 6 per the ordinance. It was really designed to be not a medical clinic or, you know, full-fledged medical clinic. It was more designed to be a wellness center where people from the neighborhood could go in for screenings to make sure that they are not getting something further serious down the road. If they did have further serious medical issues, then they would go to a more medical clinic or hospital. This wasn't intended to be a full-fledged medical. It was more something to serve the neighborhood, and that's how we drafted the ordinance. This goes back all the way to when we did the West Ocala Community Plan. This is one of the needs that we addressed in the plan is to have a use or have some uses that more serve the neighborhood. And I think going to Ted's question about the zoning, it's right now it's in that flux of us changing the zoning, and the land use has been changed already to neighborhood, where we would have some of that flexibility to do some of that under the new zoning code. So, but right now we're kind of stuck with just going from R2 to R3, and it does kind of look like it's somewhat of a spot zone. But that's really the goal, is to really provide something where, yes, they will have people coming to it by vehicle, but a lot of it could be walking. But we think we have enough space on this site. There was another site that the city was looking at to try to donate. It did not work, and it was more of an infringe into the neighborhood. Even though it was zoned R3, it was a much smaller property. We think this property has enough room to grow on it and provide their needs. It's not going to be a huge, it's more than likely going to be less than 3,000-4,000 square feet right now to begin with.
Any other questions? Okay. Thank you, Mike. Meantime. Okay. All right, with the petitioner available, I'd like to speak.
Carolyn Adams, 10423 Southwest 45th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. We've actually partnered with the Heart of Florida, and we have full support from Carrie Clark Jones. She feels there is a need to have this center in West Ocala. She feels that we will, in our first year, serve over, let's say, 3,000 clients alone, just to help her out. We have been donated a module, a triple wide module. Carla Grimsley has prayed from Interfaith, was actually given a module, and Carla decided that it would better serve the Estella Berg Whitman Wellness and Community Resources Center. So she relinquished her right to this trailer. It's a beautiful triple wide trailer that she felt that we would profit better than she. What else do you need to say?
One of the things that you should realize is that the clinic is not going to be a detriment in any way. It's going to be a benefit. The community, Tucker Hill, and surrounding areas have complained for years that they could not get to the Heart of Florida because of transportation, because of illnesses. And when we first came here to retire. This was my wife's idea because she is a nurse practitioner, and I support all things that she does, and started talking with the CEOs of Monroe Regional, Ocala Regional, Charles Power at the centers. All of them agreed that there was a need. At the time, Nathan Grossman was still here. Nathan said, I can't give you any money, but I can give you the equipment that you'll need in order to start. So we have started to getting a lot of contributions. We have started to getting offers of equipment, and some of the more prominent doctors here have already pledged their service to the clinic for those individuals who will not be able to afford to come because of excuse. They have started to just donate a lot of contributions. The very first contribution we got was from ex-Governor Buddy McKay, who simply said, "What you're doing is a great thing. I appreciate what you're doing. I support what you're doing. And I will be there, hopefully, to see it open." For a little while, we had to slow down because I fell, broke my shoulder, did a lot of damage to my spine, and this is why I'm walking this way. And this is for a year. I struggled, come to every meeting I needed to come to. I wore halo to meetings because it is that important to us. The area that we're talking about is a community, historically, that has existed here for more than 150 years, paid their taxes. And I talked to a lady before she passed away who said, it's time somebody come here and give us something or get us something. That lady was Marvella Kendricks. She died at the age of 14, so she knew, 114. She knew Ocala. Now, I'm not trying to jump back to the past. I said that before, and I'm going to be redundant and say it again. I'm talking about right now and the individuals who sit in the chairs, who made the decisions to do the right thing for these people who are there, have never had what they call anything of their own. Exclude the Krosky Center. Exclude the Hamptons. You know, that they don't consider that them. But when we are walking in the community, when we are talking to people, all of a sudden now our names have become synonymous with the clinical people. That's what they call us. Our church has gotten involved. They are going to see that whatever it is they need to do, Patrick Sazenet is a young man that came here with a vision. And we're trying to get to that vision, to make it a reality and not a vision. And so we are asking for your support, and we would like to be able, at some point in time, to say, this commission did us well. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Do you have any questions from the board? No? All right, well, thank you.
Thank you.
Bring it back to the board. Any comments from the public? We'd like to open it up to the public.
My name is Patrick Sazenet. I live at 15195 Southwest 37 Terrace, Ocala, Florida, 334473. And I am the pastor of St. Paul Amity Church, which is catacornered adjacent to their property. And we just want to go on record in supporting the Estella Bird Whitman Health and Wellness Center. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else in the public that would like to comment? Okay, thank you. I can bring it back to the board.
Motion to approve.
Second.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Peggy?
Mr. Schott?
Aye.
Mr. Adams?
Aye.
Mr. Batzel?
Aye.
Mr. Kesslowing?
Aye.
Mr. Gibney?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Okay. All right, let's move along to code changes.
Ma'am.
Thank you.
Code changes. Applause is always good.
Yes.
COD 13-0008.
Yeah, this is a code change to allow a garden center, some changes to the garden center, garden and nursery center establishment. Specifically, this addresses the issue of a garden center kind of freestanding. The applicant is FloraTurf Side. They have paid for the code change and worked with staff to come up with the changes. They've been working with us the last month or so. Staff is recommending the approval to basically kind of separate in the B4, B5 what a garden center is in versus what a garden and nursery center or something like you would see at Lowe's or on the Home Depot, which is our building material sales establishment. These before only are allowed as attachments or accessory uses, and there could be no sales outside of the walls or the center of the garden. This amendment would allow some freestanding garden center in the B4, B5. Freestanding mean they would be able to have some sod, some different materials, plants, trees, whatever, on site. It wouldn't be within the walls. It would be somewhat screened from the public, and that's what the ordinance really tries to address, is screening mostly from the public view along the major roadways and any buffering from the residential. So we think this is a use that's been kind of growing. We really never had a good fit for it. We see that there is most probably a need for it. There was one that's recently outside the city limits right on State Road 40. That kind of worked very well. They kind of set it up where they have some display where it shows what type of products they can sell or and it really has worked pretty good in terms of the look and not having a total outdoor sales without any buffering. So that was our concern in the past, and so we've tried to balance that with the change. And the change is mostly into the garden center criteria, and again, like I said, to break it out between the garden nursery sale accessory use and a freestanding use. The property they're looking at is a property along US 27. It's a big piece of property that was used for mobile home sales. That's the particular one because they're the ones that are paying for the code change, but again, it would apply to anything in the B4, B5. And so we did try to protect the residential or try to protect the public view along the major roadway of the corridor so that it would be behind a fence or a significant buffer. Any questions?
All right. No questions from us, apparently. Move straight ahead to any public. Anyone from the public like to make any comments about this code change? Okay. All right, back to the board for discussion or a motion.
I'll move approval.
A second.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Peggy?
Mr. Kesselring?
Aye.
Mr. Batzel?
Aye.
Mr. Adams?
Aye.
Mr. Schott?
Aye.
Mr. Gibney?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Okay. All right. On to COD 13-0009.
Yeah, the last code change is regarding downtown parking. This ordinance was actually brought to the Planning and Zoning Commission in 06. It was approved by the Planning and Zoning Commission, but it was this portion of it was denied by City Council. The requirement would be to reduce the parking spaces from 9.5 to 9 feet just for the downtown, for the central core. At City Council did approve reducing the parking garages throughout the city from 9.5 to 9 feet, but did not approve reducing the downtown parking surface lots. So again, this would be something would just be for the downtown or the central core, as we call it, under our new land use. Since that time, this was one of the required, one of the recommendations from our parking study that was done back in 2010 and 11. We've made a lot of the changes. This is one of them that we now bringing forward. We feel like with some of the parking issues that we have, trying to maximize as much as possible, the 9 feet is still a good size parking space without trying to reduce the driveway widths or trying to even go further down to like an 8.5, which some cities do go down to an 8.5 in their core areas. So again, it's just reducing it from 9.5 to 9 feet. And again, it was recommended by our parking consultant.
Any comments? Anyone have a truck that would like to make a comment?
Yeah, I was going to say everybody's going to have to drive my little car.
Bring your Miata.
Yes.
My first home. You park a truck anywhere around here, just not there.
You can use two spaces.
Yeah, just straddle the line and take up two spaces like a jerk.
We'll say this: it's not a requirement. If somebody wants to build a parking lot and still have them 9.5 feet wide, they can do
that. Right. And the way it's drafted, yeah. I mean, the way it's drafted is, it's still the requirement is 9.5, and I didn't say that to begin with, but it'd only be approved by me if we think it's, you know.
Todd, do you think the city's okay. going to redraw the lines on their parking lots to 9 feet?
We could, yes.
That was going to be my question.
Okay. Stole it, sorry.
Every 18 spaces,
trying to make up for my
early
motion,
space.
Premature motion.
And it just all depends on how the layout works.
Yeah. A lot of it is the layout. I mean,
and a form-based code is probably going to have some layout changes to it whenever it finally comes out.
I mean, it's definitely in different codes. The downtown does have the need for a smaller
space. Well, the risk is this. I did realize if somebody came in and they wanted to have all of their spots 9 feet, is that something that you would look favorably upon? Or are you looking for a percentage, kind of a mixture?
No, it was, they could have all of them in the downtown.
Could.
Yeah.
A lot of places yeah. do.
I mean, I know previously people went to the compact car space, and I hated that when I think we had it in the code and we took it out because we really didn't know what a compact car space was. I mean, some of them got ridiculous, but I mean, I feel when we did the ordinance before, we didn't have the consultant backing us up, but I feel much better going forward again, and I kind of think it was right about it that we really do need the 9 feet downtown.
Is this the size of the spaces in the courthouse parking garage?
The garages have already been approved to go to 9 feet. But,
that doesn't mean they have.
Yeah, I just wondered, I'm trying to envision it.
Yeah, I'm not sure how that, for some reason I think those were built at a smaller than 9.5. That's my gut feeling on it. The requirement was 9.5, but you know, I don't know when that was built, what, in the early 90s, late 80s or whatever. I don't recall it ever changing other than what we did in 2006.
Well, I guess this would be my concern. I would, if a property owner wants to make their spaces smaller to fit more people in, and it may or may not impact their customers, you know, they would find out pretty quickly that if they had people that just could not come to their establishment because they couldn't park in their spaces. But my bigger concern is with the downtown parking, with the city parking, with the street parking. You know, we live in this is a rural community, as much as some people would not like it to be. I have, you know, a relatives that come from out of town that know how many trucks we have. We have a lot of them. And I just think it would, I know for a fact, I mean, that extra 6 inches, I mean, it makes a little bit of difference. I mean, it's tight already as it is. I just know that it can be difficult to park trucks, full-size trucks, full-size SUVs, even larger size, you know, city-owned vehicles in those kind of spaces.
I don't think we're going to change any of our angle parking, like around the square or the parallel spaces along
the right-of-way. Yeah, you're not changing the parallel spaces because you're not reducing the lengths.
The one thing to think about is we've got to have 18 contiguous spots to create a 19.
Yeah.
And when you start counting the square and those kind of places, you don't have 18 contiguous spots.
Yeah, and you know, and if you're supposed to have a landscape island every once in a while, you know, I mean, it gets to be difficult unless you have, I mean, what this is when you have very small lots, like what we had earlier with the microbrewery.
Yeah.
You know, so they can kind of squeeze. Yeah.
36 spaces maybe, can become 38.
Yeah, maybe they can get one more on site or something like that. So.
And the other place where you'll see if the city is going to do something with it, the city has a parking requirement to meet up the north side, and they're currently trying to figure out with Gaslight District how to fit spaces on that site and still leave some green space that the DBA is looking for. This will help in that endeavor. Also, if we get to a point where we have two-way streets on the north side and we can do some diagonal parking there, this will help with the creation and the satisfaction of the spaces that need to be created up there in a reasonable way for the city where they don't have to go buy more property and those types of things. So I am all in favor of this. I agree with you that there needs to be parking available, and that's why I was saying to you, if you pass this, there's still going to be spaces around where larger vehicles will be able to park. I don't see this as a drawback. In fact, I see it as a benefit, especially when you have things like the brewery trying to go in and you're trying to figure out how to get parking on site to qualify that, even though it's 20 feet away from a parking exempt zone. Do you extend the parking exempt zone, or do you make them have a requirement to provide for their parking somehow, but give them some help in figuring out the number of spaces they need?
And again, I think it's something we're only proposing for the core area, and I don't at this point envision it going for the, you know, rest of the city. And again, like I said, I think most communities have a different requirement in their downtown area, just that it's premium parking.
Okay. Any other questions?
I'll make a motion to approve.
Well, the public.
There is no public.
Yeah, we have public.
Needs an opportunity.
Patty's not public.
There could be someone.
Ted, you have to get down then.
No, my namesake, Arthur Adams.
You've made two premature motions in one night.
All right. There is no one. I'm assuming there's no one outside in the public that would like to speak. Okay. All right. Bring it back to the board.
Patty shut us down.
I'll make a motion to approve.
Ooh, second.
Stolen.
And second stolen.
All right, thank you.
Mr. Schott?
Aye.
Mr. Betzel?
Aye.
Mr. Adams?
Aye.
Mr. Kesselring?
Aye.
Mr. Gibney?
No.
Motion.
All right.
Truck lover.
Yeah.
Do we have anything else? No? Any discussion? Anybody like to talk about their fundraisers for their kids or anything? No?
I'll move you?
All right.
Anybody else in anybody else's packet? Did you have the Rudiani property on the corner of 17th and 22nd?
So yeah, that would have been.
I was wrong.
Yeah. Split
97.
Oh,
that's right.
I heard a rumor that the city was thinking about buying that and turning it into a park.
That's what I heard. That.
What is it?
What is that?
What a lovely park.
That Rudiani piece. That's. We've approved twice, and they've shot down twice.
Oh, you mean on 22nd?
On 22nd.
No. It's still spinning around.